I think the most important thing that you can do in any pool is keep it safe. I mean, that's our number one goal, and sanitizing is the key to that. There's a lot of different ways to do that, for sure. But we are, you know, a leading manufacturer of Tricor sanitizer specifically, but we do provide, you know, all the different types of chlorine.
That's a promotional video of a biolab representative talking about keeping pools clean and some new trends in the industry. Safety is a big part of their pitch, and like any other business, Biolab competes to be the best. But if you've been listening, you know Biolab has a safety issue with fire. In the first episode, we broke down the September 2024 fire, how it started, how it spread, and the community impact.
One of the workers called and said there was chemical smoke in the building, and apparently there's heavy smoke in the area, so they're shutting everything down.
Oh, fun. All right.
Always Biolab, right?
Episode 2 dug into Biolab's past, its history of fires, and the safety concerns that go back decades.
This is not a one-time event. This is not a two-time event. My aunt passed away with lung issues, and I watched as her neighbors, one by one, succumbed to this deadly thing.
Now, we're turning our focus to the industry Biolab helped build. I wanted to talk to Biolab for this story. At this point, I had been asking for an interview with someone from the company for months. But with lawsuits pending, all I got were paper statements. So when I heard they'd be presenting at a pool and spa trade show in Nashville, I packed my bags and immediately thought, road trip. I'm Pamela Kirkland, and this is Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab story. Nashville is just a few hours from Metro Atlanta. It's a nice little ride through the mountains. When I pulled into town, the convention was my first stop.
And if you've ever been to the Music Convention Center in Nashville, it's huge.
The sprawling convention hall is filled with vendors. It's the Southeast Pool and Spa Show, a gathering of the biggest names in the pool and spa industry in this region.
I've never been to a trade show like this before, so walking around, you see everything from cool gadgets, like massage machines, because, of course, if you're coming to look at a spa or a whirlpool, you want to relax. There are chemical companies. There are fiberglass pool shells. It is really a great opportunity for these businesses to network with one another and also kind of check out the competition.
This generates leads and helps us build out our dealer base.
Okay.
Yeah, so we manufacture.
And there's everything you could ever want for your pool. New tile, aisle two. How about a low chlorine chemical alternative? Yep, a pre-plumb pool? They've got that too. But what I was here for wasn't on the showroom floor. What I really came here for was a class.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Come into our talk.
A pool chemical safety course taught by John Weber, a senior chemist from Biolab. He's been doing this for the past 25 years, teaching water chemistry.
Let John introduce himself.
Oh, John Weber with Biolab. Been doing this for about 25 years now. First 40, I spent over Carly's side of the world, and then the last few over at Biolab side. Been teaching water chemistry since I was a wee little lad. But I'm a senior formulation chemist now. So my job is to come up with new products, try to help better take care of pools.
This class is a continuing education class for pool technicians on the best practices to avoid accidents while handling these chemicals.
So common pool chemicals, we know, right? We got our oxidizers, all the chlorines, right? Peroxides. We got acid, we deal with all the time. We have bases, which is just the opposite of acid, high pH. Soda ash, your bicarb, ammonia, we deal with. And then we have a whole host of other chemicals. How do we know if these are compatible with those, right?
You can tell he took his responsibility seriously, not just teaching technicians how to handle chemicals, but also how to keep themselves and their customers safe.
We have health hazards, so corrosive, burn your skin, right? Burn your eyes. Toxic means you can get sick, ill from them. Inhalation hazards can burn your lungs. You have fire. If you regulate oxidizers, you have to be careful about that. And then the unwanted reactions, contamination, mixing, that kind of thing.
These chemicals are dangerous and, if mishandled, can kill. Each of the instructors leading this class stressed that point. Sure, there were some lighter moments, but mostly it was about safety. But this training isn't an employee safety training. While Weber stands here genuinely advocating safety, especially for the pool technicians who work with these chemicals in the field, what isn't addressed is safety on the plant floor. Weber says he never worked inside one of BioLab's facilities, but former workers say the reality on the plant floor is more complicated. Tashika Moore worked at BioLab from 2019 to 2022 as a packer and labeling operator and says employees dealt with headaches, dizziness, and chemical burns. Just a note, these are her words from our online conversation. While she agreed our conversation was fair game for this podcast, we quit talking before I could record her. These are her words read by an actor.
Workers constantly leave because the chemicals have such bad effects. Burns, dizziness, headaches, upper respiratory infections, and the list goes on. You need a hazard suit working there.
She was there during the 2020 fire and says smaller incidents also occurred.
I don't think the actual people that are working in the building are actually prepared. I feel like the only thing they know to do is evacuate and call for help as far as chemical reactions happen.
I found at least 20 OSHA violations, including violations for not properly training employees on hazardous chemicals dating back some 30 years. In April, the agency cited BioLab again, this time for improperly storing hazardous chemicals and saying that was the cause of the 2024 fire. They're recommending the company pay the largest fine to date, more than $61,000. In a statement, BioLab said it, quote, takes operational safety very seriously, but disputes OSHA's conclusion about the cause of the fire. Kevin was a packing engineer at BioLab for more than 5 years. I verified his employment history. I've actually seen his old business card, but he requested we not use his full name. Kevin didn't work on the production line, but he did have to spend time in those storage warehouses. He says safety mattered to management, but the company's aging infrastructure was a problem.
It wasn't terrible, but like every now and then, like in a warehouse, there might have been a leaky roof because, again, the buildings were very old and the previous owners did not invest much in the buildings.
He says the 2024 fire, which engulfed BioLab's newest building, shocked him.
That brand new storage one, that's the one that went up in flames. That's what surprised me.
BioLab wouldn't confirm that Plant 19, the one that caught on fire last year, was that brand new building. Kevin says he wasn't at BioLab during the most recent fire. He left the company for the last time in 2019. But he was there when major changes began to unfold under the ownership of Kick Consumer Products. More on that in a bit. He says he doesn't believe BioLab was filled with bad actors.
I never felt unsafe. I never really got sick all that much. I think the chlorine kind of killed any pathogens in the air. But obviously when everything was going up in flames like that, there's all sorts of chemical reactions going on, and that concentration of everything that flew eastward was not great. I could certainly see issues there when chemicals that are not supposed to mix and smoke is involved. Like that's a nasty situation.
But from where he sat, it was a company that at times was dealing with a lot of turnover.
The safety guy who had been there for well over a decade had left a couple years ago. I mean, he was getting up there close to retirement age, sure, but I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but he had a lot of institutional knowledge on all the regulations and safety. He was gone, and he started in 2006 and left in 2022. So in the 16 years he was there, no fires. No big ones.
But as we learned earlier, the smaller fires that happened in those years were still sometimes enough to shut down Interstate 20 and force a few people from their homes. Biolab declined to comment on questions about staffing changes, equipment upgrades, or the departure of its former safety director. A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season two of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. If you own a pool, chances are you've used a Biolab product or one made by their parent company. They manufacture brands like BioGuard, and their chemicals keep millions of pools clean. But Biolab isn't just a manufacturer, it's an industry heavyweight.
How important are the chemical manufacturers like Biolab to the industry? What role are they playing in supplying pool professionals?
They're huge.
Rudy Stankiewicz is CEO of Aquatic Facility Training and Consultants. He also hosts the Talking Pools podcast and has spent more than three decades in the pool business.
Very important question for this purpose. What title would you like used?
I usually go with Grand Poobah, but
it's a good one.
Which is not a joke. I usually do. That's typically within the industry.
He tells me Biolab is a major player in the industry. According to market analysis by Business Research Insights, the global pool chemical market was valued at approximately $2.2 billion in 2024 and is projected to reach about $3.3 billion by 2033. He says the 2020 fire at Biolab's Lake Charles plant showed just how critical that company is.
I think 2020 was, or 2021 was an eye-opener for everyone in how much of a role they actually did play. When that factory burned in Louisiana, following that was a tremendous chlorine shortage that swept across the nation. I don't know if you remember, I was on almost every major news network at the time because I said it was going to be Poolmageddon. And that was the big thing, and that's all you need to do to get on every news network is come up with one word that people think is fun. But Poolmageddon, and that's what it was.
Rudy says the fire at Biolab's Lake Charles factory revealed weaknesses in the supply chain.
That factory burning and shutting down put unnecessary stress on the other factories that would typically manufacture the products as well, and it just got to the point that it was too much.
The fire disrupted chlorine production nationwide. Prices surged. Pool stores couldn't keep tablets in stock. As for the 2024 fire at Biolab's Georgia facility, Rudy says that didn't cause the same kind of disruption, but it still sent shockwaves through the industry.
And for a lot of us in the industry, that also helped to be a good eye-opening experience because, yeah, we know those things can happen, but we don't often see it. And then here it is, and the whole thing was, we felt awful.
Biolab says they have resumed distribution, but not manufacturing at the Conyers plant, and that they're cooperating with the federal investigation. Biolab dates back to the 1950s, when the company was a mom-and-pop shop making cleaners for chicken coops. The company's Conyers plant opened in the 1970s, after they had moved into the pool business. They had changed hands a few times, as companies do. Chemtura Corporation was their parent company during the big 2004 fire. They owned a host of chemical companies across dozens of states. That's important to know, because Chemtura filed for bankruptcy protection in 2009. In 2010, they settled with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Justice for less than $1 million in penalties under the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act as a result of the 2004 fire. That bankruptcy also limited the amount residents who had sued after the fire could collect. Gene Sadler, the Conyers resident who's been here for more than 50 years, she remembers.
As I said, my children was living there, and they got enough to paint the house, which it still, and we painted before, and now the paint is peeling again.
The bankruptcy court approved just a $7 million settlement to cover more than 16,000 claims. According to the Wall Street Journal, people forced from their homes received as little as $230, others only $59. Kick Consumer Products purchased BioLab from Chemtura in late 2013. That's when Kevin, the former engineering employee, was there.
But I will say, for the hourly workers, when Kick took over, they lowered everyone's salary. People had been working there for a while, and then they just kind of were like, hey, here's the new salary, take it or leave it. And they moved people down below $10 an hour sometimes. And it's like, again, this is 11 years ago, but that's not great. That's going to lead to more turnover, more new heads, less experience.
But there was investment in other areas.
And they did start to put money into upgrading the equipment, fixing up the buildings a little bit. And I did appreciate that. But just most of that campus is 55 or 50-ish years old now.
Today, BioLab is owned by Centerbridge Partners, a private equity firm that bought all of Kick Consumer Products for $1.6 billion a decade ago. Now, BioLab ships products to Canada, Europe, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. So BioLab went from a mom-and-pop storefront to a global powerhouse by the 1980s. I asked Rudy Stankiewicz what he thought about consolidation within the pool industry.
It's the beginning. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, how many mom-and-pop hardware stores are left? I mean, initially, in my time, what I've seen was first came in mail order. And everybody was worried and that was in the industry, the mail order companies, they're going to put us out of business. And you know what? They do have an impact. But we survived. Then came the internet. Internet sales. And then with that was also then the big box merchants or the large chains and such. But it is definitely whittling away at the number of mom and pops out there.
Consolidation means it's not hard for people like Cheryl Garcia, the former occupational health expert and community activist, to figure out who to sue over safety risks. These are big companies with recognizable names. But it also means those companies have deep pockets and a team of lawyers.
We're up against billions of dollars. None of us have those kinds of resources. So, you know, we're just a little guy trying to fight. It's like David and Goliath, you know. It's hard. It's difficult, you know, to anticipate getting anything fruitful from the lawsuits.
And she worries what residents and businesses might be facing.
Yeah, somebody said, a neighbor actually said, asked me recently if it was too late to file a lawsuit or claim with BioLab. I said, absolutely, that was December. I said, but you can join a class action lawsuit. She goes, oh yeah, because she's having more increased asthma problems. And she goes, oh yeah, and get $20. I thought, don't say that to me, you know, but yes, of course, I'm concerned that that might be the outcome. I mean, I've spent way more than $20 or even $50 on treating something that wasn't my fault.
Jean Sadler also joined the lawsuit against the company. She says investors shouldn't get a pass. To her, they had a choice in what they were getting into, and they chose wrong.
The investors really don't come out to see. They don't come out to question their employees. They don't come out to check on anything. All they want at the end of the month or the end of the year is to see profit. And when they start not seeing profit because they know how to wiggle and jiggle, they can sell out to someone else, make the profit that they've made, and go somewhere else and do differently. But the thing is, they are accountable too. Because why would I buy a cow and you bring me a bull? I wanted milk, but you wanted stud. So, you know, blindsided. And when I get this, either I can, you know, make money out of studding them out or kill them and make a steak. They killed us. They're killing us. Simple as that.
Back in Nashville at the Southeast Pool and Spa Show, the atmosphere felt upbeat. Companies proudly showcased their latest products, their latest cutting-edge technology with just a few months to summer. A guy is on an escalator wearing flippers and a giant duck floaty. I think Rudy Stankiewicz sums it up pretty well.
Swimming pools are supposed to be fun. Everything related to a swimming pool is supposed to be fun.
But for the people who live near BioLab's plants, and for the workers who handle its chemicals, the stakes are higher. And still, the pool season marches on. What happens when safety starts to cost more than it earns? And who's left to pay when things go wrong? Before we go, a quick note. Here's where we are now. OSHA has cited BioLab for improperly storing hazardous chemicals and says that's what caused the 2024 fire. The agency is recommending the company pay more than $61,000 in fines. Since the announcement, I've heard frustration from the community, and I'll be watching that closely. While we originally planned to release the next episode next week, we're taking a short break. But episode 4 is coming soon. We're still finalizing the next chapter of this story, so we're taking a little more time to dig deeper and come back strong with more of Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story. Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story, is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. This podcast was written by me, Pamela Kirkland. Grant Blankenship is our senior editor. GPB's podcast team includes Sandy Malcolm, Jeremy Powell, Jake Cook, and Mark Davenport. For more, visit gpb.org/podcasts.